Hello， 大家好，不好意思，刚刚。
Hello, everybody. We're getting a little late to start, but we're ready to begin. Now, we're going to be talking today about the Windows driver development tools. My name is Devin. I'm with OSG from the Power Enablement team, and I'm a software engineer myself.Now, this morning's meeting, you heard in the keynotes from Terry a lot about the universal drivers, the universal platform. And that was kind of an overview. It was a macro view of it. Now, I'm going to speak more specifically. If you are developing drivers, how can you increase your efficiency, reduce development time, and we'll be speaking about the universal platform in a more concrete sense. And we'll also do what we call a development experience. That is, we'll walk you through how a driver is actually developed. We'll talk about Visual Studio and WDK, talk about your different choices, your options for development. And we're hoping that everyone here will leave with a greater understanding of Visual Studio and WDK and feel comfortable using these very convenient tools that Windows 10 has for developing drivers. So let's start with an overview of the universal driver platform. In this morning's keynote demo, we saw how drivers in Windows 10 will be usable across the diversity of device ecosystems, from desktop to laptops to tablets to mobile phones, Xbox to servers, and they can all use a single Windows system. Now, before Windows 10, pre-Windows 10, the development of drivers, I'm curious, is anybody here experienced in developing drivers for Windows, whether it's desktop or mobile? Yeah, I see there's a number of you. So you must be very familiar with this flowchart. If we were doing desktop driver development, you would have to buy a developer board, and you would download a Windows drivers kit, a WDK, and then you would have to learn about the model for this desktop driver, and then you would develop it and do debug it, and then distribute it to users. And there would be a lot of tests in the WDK for stability and compatibility. And then in the end, it would be uploaded to our portal and then signed and distributed. Now, if you weren't doing desktop, if you're doing mobile, there would be a slight difference. You would probably have to obtain the development preconditions from the OEM, from the device maker. And then you would still have to understand the frame or the model for mobile drivers, which would be different than desktop drivers. Then you would use Visual Studio to develop and debug. And then you would use what we call the testing center to test the driver and offer it as a package to the OEM. and they would do an image, they would generate a mobile image. So that was two different tracks, the desktop and the mobile driver development, and that took a lot of time because there's a lot of learning and adapting to do for a single driver across these two platform ecosystems. So we are now looking to develop single source code that is universal across mobile and desktop platforms. And there's a lot of value here for developers. As long as you have this source code, you can develop binary files that are usable on desktops, on mobile devices, or in Internet of Things, telematics. And there's also a singular universal API graphic that can be used for these apps and drivers. And it can be used for any version of Windows. And there's no need for other driver programming. You can sell components directly to desktop and mobile OEMs and ODMs. So all the devices have APIs and drivers, and they are consistent in Windows 10 across these platforms. So take a look at this. At the bottom, the dark blue is one core, that's the library. All of the cores will be in the one core. And then on top of that, on the lighter blue, the one core UAP, we heard about this in the keynote this morning as well. All of the devices, whether it's Xbox or a mobile device, or Internet of Things, the IoT devices, will all be supported in this one core UAP. Now here we have a chart that you can see, it's fairly detailed. On the right, you see the one core LID and what it supports. For example, audio, Bluetooth, NFC, and then bus drivers and USB, they have more limited support. And for those functions or devices, you're going to use the one core UAP library.
You might be asking if we have a new platform for drivers, how do we deal with the old drivers? There are two components we should look at. The first component, if those drivers are kernel mode drivers, then for the majority of them, you don't have to modify them, and those can be run on the new platform. However, for the special drivers, small modifications are needed before putting them onto the new Windows platform. Second component, if you have a user mode driver, then it's slightly different. If Win32 APIs are used in the old driver, and Win32 API are not compatible with the new platform, and if you load the binaries, Windows will not load these binaries. Windows will find out that those APIs are not compatible with the new platforms. So how do we deal with that? We have to replace some of the old names, some of the old configurations with the new. And if the drivers are very unique, you might have to redesign and rework on them, and this is a larger amount of work. But for those that you have to work for, but these are minorities. The majority of the characters can be replaced. So the majority of the cases ask for small modifications. Now, let me show you step by step. Microsoft provides end-to-end hardware development solutions. And take these four steps as an example. We already recommended some of the hardware development platform, as keynote speakers mentioned this morning. And I'm going to illustrate further. Second step, if you've chosen what platform to use, and you want to know more about the technical documents, and if you have issues, you want to talk with different experts, colleagues, what issues they run into, then you can go on to MSDN to seek these help. And the third step, we can use Visual Studio plus WDK to develop your files and debug your drivers. And the last step, after your driver is mature enough for validation, then you can see from end to end, a lot of resources is provided to the developers. Visual Studio is worked with WDK, but you have to install them separately. These two together are working seamlessly, so that the driver program tools is now integrated into a Visual Studio environment, thus improving the efficiency for developers. In development, in application, we know that if a bug is hidden in a program, it will be hard to discover it. You have to spend a lot of time reading through all the logs to discover that bug that's embedded. The reason we're providing you with a tool is to give you the opportunity to spot the bug from an earlier phase on, so that in the latter stages, we save you time and energy to debug them. So we're providing you with a lot of quality monitoring tools and test assembles in Visual Studio to help you. We've also strengthened the driver program, the driver framework. A lot of the repetitive codes are already in the framework. So when you're developing drivers, just focus on functionality rather than considering every little detail. As we heard from keynote speech this morning, today the internet is probably overly crowded because a lot of people are using the internet at the same time, so it might be difficult to open this link, but let me show you a demonstration. Shall we try again? Now this demonstration shows you that we have demos and modules to show you what is the environment, the Windows WDK, how does the packaging work. If we're deploying one driver onto another computer, what steps can we go through? And lastly, I'd like to talk about the validation tools. This is a development board, and the other one is the development computer, and I'll use these two machines to show you the demonstration. Let me switch to the developer machine, my other computer. This one is my development machine. Turn on Visual Studio. In Visual Studio, there many modules. When you're at the beginning of establishing a driver, there are already established modules you can use. There are KMDF, the kernel mode driver. There are also USB kernel mode driver. The modal I'm going to use is the user mode driver version 2, UMDF2. This is what we recommend. I'm going to rename it into UMDF demo 1. Save it. In creating the project, it will generate many files that you would have written, but now it's written by the system itself automatically, and all you need to do is to use it. It already generated many files. Take driver, for instance. You would look at driver entry first. This file is already established. Today, people mentioned that the source code of WDF is already uploaded. You can search the source code demo. It has sensor driver, accelerator driver, and many other internet tools which are available for downloading. This is the file that this is a driver that I established just now. Now, if I click build, I start the building process. It has some warning messages, and I'll explain to you what they mean. Finally, it will tell you that the test version is now signed. It will tell you the driver is a universal driver. So the default mode is for it to be universal success. Now let's look at error list. There are two errors. The inf file is not modified. It's blank. So let me insert a company name or whatever name you want to put in. I name it Devon Demo. After inputting these words, update it, all the error messages will be gone. It's ready. Check error list. It's clear. So this forces you to modify the manufacturer name. Click right, clip, right click. Look at the properties. First of all, driver setting. The default says Windows 10, and it's on a universal platform. In developing, if you have to look at compatibility, you can also choose the driver to be desktop, laptop, or other versions. Let me build a demo first. In keynote presentation Dom gave this morning, he says if your API is old, if it doesn't support, if the universal platform doesn't support it, then there are error messages. Let me show you. If I insert a line here randomly, this is a legacy API, which means these are traditional APIs. This API might use some file library information. In additional dependency column, I inputted more message. Rebuild it. At the end of rebuilding, it will run an examination to see if you're using any specific API that are not going to be used on the new platform. So in the API report event says that this is not going to be supported by the new platform, and let you know this is not going to be supported. So let me take out this part. Take away the relevant library, rebuild it, then it'll be fine. Let's look at the developer board. It's blank right now. I'm going to deploy the driver I created onto here via the internet. Now it says deployment successful. Excuse me, rebuild successful. Now let me set up the deployment. Go to property. If you click right mouse click, go to driver install, go to deployment option. My source code is prepared here, pre-prepared before the session. So I picked Devon SC. There's option here. If the source code already has this driver, because in development phase we've already done it. So now if it already has that, let's remove it first. After deployment, we need to install and verify it on the target machine. And after this is done, click apply. This is a development version. So I wanted to add a test certificate. An actual real certificate will look different after configuration. As we know, this runs on x86, so I want to do a release version, kernel debugger. Here, all the settings are done. It's ready to use. Now it can be deployed remotely.
So this is the building now the document drivers, and it has the target computer identified, and then it says deploy started. No, this can take 2 or 3 minutes. It says deployment may take a few moments. If it takes too long, then I might cancel it. Terminate it. So now it's beginning to deploy. You look at Device Manager. Now this window gives you the option to install or don't install the software based on its security signature. And here we have a sample device. This is, we just wait for a moment. If we switch back here, we'll see. This is the debugging window, and as it deploys, it's pretty much deployed at this point. If there's a problem in deployment, we'll see the issue come up here. Now, with its deployment, we can also see a, we'll do a visualization of a verification. So for example, here's a driver. We select test. We go to driver, test, and then select new test group. So this creates a new test window. We're going to choose x86. These are all of the basic tests. I'll choose 2 here. We've selected these tests. And then here we have a driver test group explorer, which is a manager for the tests, and then I can execute the test. And it's selected the target computer. And the test executes in that window. And these are two very simple tests, so it's over quickly. And then here are the results of the two tests that they passed. If they pass, you don't have to look at them. If they fail, then we can open them up and take a look at the technical specifications for review. So I just did a demonstration of the programming, the deployment, the development, the deployment, and the testing. So now we're going to look at the hardware developer boards. There's really a number of choices, and obviously we want something that is affordable and also practical. It doesn't require too much installation or configuration. And there's a number of different kind of components that could be used: sensors, touch sensors, cameras, GPS, NFC, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, audio and display. And for whether it's commercial or amateur users, we can provide recommendations for these developer boards. Here's just a couple. And this morning we saw in the keynote as well. This is Shark's Cove, and has a demo board, a demo version. They're both Intel platforms, based on the quad-core 1.33 gigahertz processor with a max of 1.88. Now you might need to install new firmware when you switch between these boards. But these are an excellent interface for developers. Now let's take a look at Raspberry Pi 2. Very useful for Internet of Things development, IoT development. if you have more, if you're interested in this, we certainly encourage you to attend one of our other sessions specifically for Windows IoT. The fourth is the Qualcomm Dragon Board, which is also on this, on the ARM platform, and it uses a number of commonly used interfaces. And again, we have another session that is, that will share with you information about co-developing across Windows and Qualcomm. So here's a little overview. Shark's Cove does x86, Minnow Board does x64, Raspberry and Qualcomm are doing Broadcom and the Snapdragon platforms. If you want to do something with SPI, you're going to have to probably use Minnow Board. And in any case, you can kind of review this. This is a specification comparison, and then you can go to their websites for more information about their the tech specs. In any case, you can go to the link on the very bottom of this slide, which has extensive comparison information for your development board selection. So let's look at archives and support. Archives have been published on NSDN. Before the keynote, I took a look, it was not there, and after the keynote, I went back and saw that it had been published. So this is now available. And this includes a lot of design guidelines and sensor instructions. There's a lot of documentation available. And it's also sorted by specific functions, by device specific functions, so audio or network, and you can find all of this information on the NSDN library. And these will guide you step by step through each phase. What is the goal? What is the target? How do you conduct design and execution? They really covers almost all of the steps of development. And a lot of beginners start just with these guidelines. And of course, you can always begin with hardwaredevwindows.com. We also have a lot of sample code that allows developers, beginner developers, to have good best practices and models for development. MSDN, the archives, also has all of this sample code available for download. Now, if there's a problem with any of the documentation or you still have questions, there's also a great support community that you can access and post your question in that community. Now, I want to talk about two of the tools that are available, Visual Studio and WDK. These provide a modern driver development environment. So Visual Studio and WDK, should be said, are designed to be used together. And Visual Studio 2015 is free for the developer community. It's an excellent tool and resource that developers can use. WDK supports different versions of Visual Studio. If you want to download it, you can go to wsdnmicrosoft.com. Visual Studio, there's three parts. You can see the green is the timeline package. The second part is the Visual Studio itself. And then the integration of different Windows platforms, signatures, packaging. And then deployment configurations or deployment tools. And of course, a debugger. Now, Visual Studios includes Windows SDK and the Visual Studios Core, CRT. And then, of course, there is the support, which includes all the documentation we just talked about, the archives, a lot of the source code, database, and examples, and the MSDN library. So WDK, there are many versions of Windows, but one universal WDK. And it can help developers create apps and drivers that work across the different platform ecosystems and the different versions of Windows. It creates consistency for developers across Windows versions. And so that allows multiple versions of Windows to be worked on using the WDK on a single tape drive. And allows for a very rich and diverse multi-version experience across different device types. So here is a navigator. You can choose desktop or mobile or IoT. Here are some of, for example, if you have some of the older API EXEs, you can see them here. And they'll display automatically and be sorted according to their compatibility with different systems. So here's the INF verification, INF verification tool. And that includes when you, all of the information or materials that you get when you install the driver. So for when you install something, there might be a number of issues, and this tool can help you to compile and understand these issues over the course of the installation process. So it makes it much easier to identify these problems. So these are the main steps. You install Visual Studio and WDK, then you choose your Windows version or a model that you want to work on. Then you look at the system structure and add a source or an archive, and then you code and debug. When everything looks good, you can test and deploy and hopefully bring it to a level of maturity that's ready for distribution, signature and distribution. Let's move on now to validation. You've already developed your driver, you're relatively satisfied with it, and you're ready to have it validated. So we hope, again, to provide a set of tools that can allow developers to create drivers that meet certain standards of stability and quality. NWDK has some basic I/O testing and validation tools. There's the hardware lab kit, which is a more detailed evaluation tool that can assess compatibility with different platforms and detect how ready the app is for deployment. We have another session that's specifically about the hardware lab kit, the HLK, so please do feel free to join us for that.
That was a remote deployment and remote testing. This is only one of the options. The second option is that the test kits of WDK can be installed separately on the source code. That way, without using the remote fashion, you can execute it directly to obtain log and do the debugging that's necessary. We hope that using one tool set, you can run same tests on different platforms. Now, this is our end-to-end hardware solution. This is basically all I have to say, but let me summarize. The universal driver of Windows can be run on all Windows platform. This is a source of drivers. Using one WDK, one Windows Studio environment can abbreviate all the tools and tasks that you have to perform. You can access this from one location, hardware.dev.windows.com, and you can obtain toolkits, documents, and discuss with experts from MSDM forum, ask questions and interact with them. I think our timetable has shifted a bit, but we're now talking about Windows driver development. The next two sessions are also important. What I talked about was tools, and the next sessions are going to talk about how do you develop drivers, and what are the architecture of Windows drivers for hands-on developers. The next two sessions are very important. I encourage you to participate. We also hope you to be constructive in giving us feedback. Access this via this QR code and help us to be better in the future. Thank you very much. We still have questions for question and answer. If you have any questions, please raise your hand. Yes, development board can also be replaced by a normal PC. We hope you will start from development board, but if you're only running tests or very simple debugging, you can do it on a separate PC. That's all fine. As far as I know, Terry also mentioned earlier, and Don also said that we can give you a mini box. You can also go to a source code website to purchase relevant things. For more details, you have to ask the information desk. Can you repeat your question? Does VS support, does BSP support this? You're not talking about Visual Studio. BSP is Qualcomm's product. It doesn't necessarily support Intel product. The BSP part. So the question was, if you're on a different platform, can BSP support it or be supported? But if you take the developer board as an example, I don't know if I'm answering your question. On the source code website, it has a full set of drivers that can be downloaded. When you're installing OS, you can install these driver sets as well. So in development, in deployment, all the drivers are already in source code, so that part should be fine. Has the driver board been approved by validated? We have been in collaboration for a long time. We're pretty sure it's stable. And if you run into a question, it will not be those problems are most likely not to be the problem from the development board. Same code? Yes, you can run them at different development board. I picked x86, but you can also pick others to write your codes. Yes. Development platform and development machine. His question was that if you have a development machine and you have a development board, how do you deploy these two? How do you connect these two? I used the internet to connect them. There are two ways. The first option is that you can use an internet cord to connect them together. So one side links source code, the other side links the development machine. The second option is that you can put a switch in the middle. So you're doing it offline, off the internet. And then you use the two normal internet to connect the two ends so that these two can be connected without network. This, having the switch means you don't need these two to be connected by internet, but these two ends are separately connected to the internet. In MSDN, there are other options as well. USB 3.0? Does it support USB 3.0? That's your question? Shall we take this offline? Apologies, I have run out of my time. Thank you.